Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first ever 12 o'clock service. You are pioneers for the third service at noon. Yeah, that's awesome. So thank each and every one of y'all for being here. You have created a seat. By being at this service, you've created a seat for somebody to come to our other service. Our other services were full, completely full. And so thank you for coming at noon. And you got to sleep in a little bit, so that's awesome. That's a win for y'all as well. So good to see Texas State Bobcats in the house. I know that you're online, some of you may be on campus as well, but great to have you, Texas State folks in here, college students. Glad to have you. I want to welcome Michelle Haggerty. She's going to come up and she's going to paint while I speak today, and hopefully she can communicate some things that I can't. And so for those of you that are on the side over here, if y'all want to migrate over, we have some seats over here that you can see better. That's a benefit of being at this service. You can shift over. We had a great time at the second service with the Bridge. Our junior high and high school students now have a service at the 10 a class at the 10:30 service. So if you know junior high and high school students that like, or actually junior high is the Bridge. So fifth, y'all, okay. Junior high is sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. Was it good? Awesome. And they have a big event for junior high and high school tonight, 6 o'clock. Pastor Emilio will tell you more about that here in a little bit. But we want to answer this question. How do we become whole? How do we become whole? Who makes us whole? How do we become whole? What makes us whole? If you want a more in-depth study, this is a book that I've written. It comes out Tuesday officially on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and other places, but we have some copies here. If you'd like to pick one up in person today, we'd love for you to do that if you're interested. And it's cheaper than Amazon here, and you don't have to wait for it to be shipped. We hand it to you. So if that's of interest to you, you can pick that up today after service. And it launches on Tuesday. We'd love any love that you could give online. I'll be sharing some stuff and would love for you to share that or let people know about it. So I want to answer this question over the next few weeks. How do we become whole? Because 2020 has been relentless at tearing away. It's been relentless at a barrage of attacks on our soul and our spirit. And it's just been hard. It's been heavy. There's been attacks on our identity. There's been attacks on our safety. There's people that are afraid for their life. There's people that are afraid they're going to get sick. They're afraid they're going to be discriminated against. They're going to be hurt or harmed. There's people that are scared about their provision, their jobs. They're losing hours. They're losing their position. They're being cut, furloughed. And just concerned about the world in general. 2020 has been tough. And I've heard so many people tell me, literally, I'm scared. I'm afraid. I'm tired. I don't know what to do. And then I've heard a lot. I've heard this probably the most. I'm done. I'm done with this. Whether it's masks or sitting at a restaurant, I mean, like whatever it is that you're just done with, I'm just done with it. Parents that are having to homeschool their kids and they're not homeschooling people. They're having to work and take their kids through classes, and man, it's tough. It's tough. I remember a few years ago when our kids were in elementary and they were learning, math, and they were bringing home math homework. We're trying to help them with math. I'm like, how did math change? This is not the way I learned math. I don't understand why you're doing this. It was just weird. And whoever changed math, God bless you. But just, I couldn't figure it out, our kids. And so what happens is we can have this chain of thought that is, man, what if our kids don't learn anything? What if our kids mess up? What if our kids don't pass this class? What if they don't pass this grade? Then they're going to be behind next year. And then they're going to be behind the year after that. And then they're not going to graduate. And then I'm going to be stuck with my kids forever. Not just during quarantine, but forever. It's tough, isn't it? 2020 has been relentless. It's just been on and on and on. And so I want to talk to you about wholeness. I want to talk to you about peace. I want to talk to you about being thoroughly inundated with the love of God, the peace of God that will surpass any situation that 2020 will give you. And I want you to understand this, first of all, that you can actually be tired and whole at the same time. And you can actually be out of control and whole at the same time. And our brains don't work that way. We can't figure that out. And what happens is we are tired or we are out of control. We have things that we don't like. They're not going our way. And eventually we just get these gaping holes in our life. And we get this frustration and we get this angst. We get angry. I don't know about you, but I'm done with watching the news. Anybody else just done with turning on the TV, turning on CNN, turning on Fox? It's depressing over and over and over. It's dark. It's confusing. I remember the Easter sermon that I gave. We were all at home. Everybody was watching it online. There was no in-person worship on Easter Sunday this year. And I remember the message that I gave was, I said, we're all going to be excited when we hear the news that the curve is flattened. We're all going to be excited when we go to HEB and there's toilet paper as far as the eye can see. Remember that? Everybody's freaking out. There's no toilet paper. We're all waiting in line. And can't even get in the store. We had to wait in line to go in the store. And then once you got in there, people were fighting over toilet paper and wipes and all kind of stuff like that. And we were like, oh, the day's going to come when the news story. And the news has come and gone with that. The curve is going down. There's toilet paper everywhere. And people are still locked in this angst and this frustration and this fear. And so usually what happens when we get to that place is we start fixing things. We start trying to fix things. Well, we'll get some. We'll hoard it. Or we'll fix this part of our life. We'll fix that part of our life. We see when there's darkness in our life, we start saying, well, I'll fix that. And we can actually fix a lot of things with charisma. If you're likable, people like you, you know, you're friendly, you can solve a lot of your problems that way. Some of you are really intellectually sharp. You can solve a lot of problems with your intellect. You can figure it out. Some of you have some money. You have some money in the bank account. You're making a lot of money. You can solve a lot of problems buying things and buying better houses, better cars, better clothes, better medical services, whatever. You can spend money and fix a lot of problems. You can fix problems by knowing important people. They can hook you up. They can connect you to things. And you can fix a lot of things in life with your smarts, with your hard work. I was taught a very strong work ethic when I was a kid, and I would solve problems by just working hard, just digging in and not giving up. Just, you can solve a lot of problems working hard. But there comes a time in your life when your money's not going to fix it, your hard work's not going to fix it, your good looks aren't going to fix it. You know, you can't just smile and wink and fix it. You can't throw enough money at it to fix it. There's just some things that are going to come up in your life at some point, and it is a broken situation. It is difficult, and you are in, it's just an impasse. You can't figure it out. There's a guy in the Bible that came through this situation in John, the 5th chapter. I want to read this verses to you, verses 2 through 5. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, a very nice body of water there in the middle of the city, an Aramaic called Bethesda. So this is the pool of Bethesda, and they had 5 roofed colonnades. It was a beautiful place. This is Roman architecture. And it says that in these colonnades laid a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And one man who had been there, he'd been an invalid for 38 years. 38 years laying by this pool. So we know he wasn't like born there. This guy was in his 40s, his 50s, something. You know, we don't know how old he was when he got there, but he'd been there for 38 years. And this term that is used, invalid, is so interesting. We still use this to this day to describe people that are unable to function like a normal person. We call them invalids. And I want you to just think about that word for a second, invalid. Well, pronounced that way, you just know it as that terminology, that definition. But if you really break it down, it is invalid. These people are invalid. They're invalids. And they make that classification, they're not valid people because they can't do what everybody else can do. So they're paralyzed, they're physically disabled, they're struggling through life, they can't make it, so they've been sequestered to this pool. And the reason they're at this pool is because every once in a while, the waters will start moving. And the waters have healing characteristics and properties. And so if you can get into the pool when the water is moving, you'll find relief, you'll find healing. So people would get into these waters as they would begin moving, these invalids, these blind, mute, paralyzed, lame, just all these very difficult situations. Some of you may not have had physical disabilities like that, but you've been classified as not good enough, not smart enough. Maybe you have the wrong skin color. Maybe you didn't go to school and finish. Maybe you, your family's broken. I know many people have very tough home life, and you've been said things to you by people that are supposed to love you, supposed to take care of you, but they've been verbally abusive to you, and they've put you into this category of invalid. Why were you born? You're an accident. You have no future. You screwed up. I can't believe you did this. And honestly, many of us actually do things that are bad. And those phrases probably come from stuff we've done that we have screwed up. We have done things that are wrong or bad. So over time, though, those words stick and those words are heavy. And many of us are stuck at a pool of Bethesda. Our identity is just associated with nothing but brokenness. Some of you may not have been dealing with this for decades or for years, but you've been dealing with it in 2020 because this barrage of bad news just keeps coming and coming and coming. I mean, it started, I remember in February, it was, you know, Kobe Bryant died. We thought, wow, that's a tragic situation. That's a horrible situation. And then this virus happens and all the racial unrest and just this ugliness that's going on with that, and all the presidential races and political situation that's going on. And then now we have the hurricane that comes through, and we have the wildfires in California, and it's just on and on and on and on. And we go down this path. This is the way, this is the lot in life. I'm stressed, I'm broken, and we are not whole. That's what the man was at the pool of Bethesda. He was not whole, but Jesus. The place where this man was, the place where we are right now in 2020, is the perfect environment for Jesus to walk on the scene. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is walking in on your scene, on your life. Jesus wants to step into your life. Jesus is not intimidated by the smell of the pool of Bethesda. I mean, he's not intimidated by the impossibility of the pool of Bethesda. He's not intimidated by the ugliness and the bitterness and the fighting that went on there. He's not intimidated by the physical abnormalities of those people or their financial struggle. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus is not intimidated by 2020. He's not intimidated by a virus, a wildfire. And even though those things are hurting people, people are actually dying and properties being destroyed and all these things that are happening, it is a perfect environment for Jesus to step onto the scene. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is stepping into your scene. You're not here by accident. You don't accidentally come to church at 12 o'clock on Sunday, okay? You're here because God has led you here. You're watching right now on the internet. You could have been scrolling. You could have been doing so many other things. But God is speaking to you right now. He's stepping onto your scene. And this is what he's saying, John 5 and 6. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Would you like to be made whole?" Would you like to be made whole? He didn't say, "Would you like your legs fixed?" He didn't say, "Would you like your eyes fixed?" He didn't say, "I want to put a Band-Aid on this," or "I'm going to give you a little bit of money." He didn't say anything like that. He said, "Would you like to be whole?" Because fixing his legs or fixing a part of his life would not give him wholeness. Now, Michelle is drawing or painting an iceberg, and this level right here, as you see this consistent line that's going across the top of this, is the water level. Everything above the water level, above the surface of the water, is what we can see with our eyes. Now, how to draw or paint an iceberg, because it's the perfect example of you and I. When an ice piece of ice chunk falls into the ocean from the South Pole to the North Pole, it begins to bob up and down in the ocean, and you only see 10% of the iceberg. That's only 10% above the surface of the water, and 90% of the iceberg is below the surface of the water. And it's a perfect example of you and I, because there's a part of us that people see. Obviously, our physical bodies, our emotions, our response, our jobs, our the way we like. They see what we post on the internet. That's above the surface of our life. And here's the problem. Most people spend all of their life trying to fix the 10% that everybody sees. And they neglect the 90% that's below the surface of the water. Well, Jesus offers something better than that. Jesus offers healing to your entire being. Now, the ugliness of the man who was sitting by the pool of Bethesda was not just his crippled body and his crippled nature. He was so bitter, so upset, so angry, so frustrated that he had many, many parts of him that you couldn't see that were ugly, angry, bitterness. And many of us have parts of us that we don't think about. We don't want to think about them. In fact, some people have spent years trying to forget about parts of your past that you either did and you're embarrassed and ashamed of, or somebody's done it to you. You've been a victim, and it's just heavy, it's dark, and so the only way we can get through that is by forgetting it and pushing it away and packing it away and just working on the part that everybody sees. Jesus offers something better than that. Jesus offers healing that starts at the very deepest parts, all the way down here, at the deepest parts of our being. Down below the surface, Jesus starts at the deepest parts of us and begins restoration at the deepest parts that begin to travel upward. As Michelle brings the color from the bottom up to the top, it's a beautiful picture of how God wants to start bringing color into your life from the very depths of who you are up to eventually the surface, where people go, "Wow, what's going on with you? Did you lose weight? I mean, what happened to you?" No, I met Jesus and he's made me whole. There's something that happens on the deepest parts of us, and this is the main point I want to bring to you today. At the very bottom, all the way down, the deepest part, down below the surface, it's even below consciousness, really. It's below what we think about. You may have a thought about this every once in a while, but most of this, you don't even think about it. It's so far down there. It's who God is and who you are. Everything that we do, everything that how we react is based on our idea of who God is and our idea of who we are and God. Now, what can happen is if that is not based in truth, then our entire being is infected by that lie. But if we come to know Jesus for who he truly is, and we understand who God is, he's going to bring a healing and a peace throughout your entire being. When our concept of God is broken, when our concept of ourself is broken, then wholeness is always elusive. We can try to find over there, try to find over there, but as long as our idea and our belief, our faith in God is broken, it will always be just out of our reach. I want to show you what happens when Jesus offers this man wholeness. This is where the story really makes a turn. Jesus says, "Would you like to be made whole?" What do you think this man would say? "Yeah, absolutely. I wanted you to make me whole, Jesus." That's not what he says. He doesn't say that at all. In fact, he said, the sick man answered him. This is John 5 and 7. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me." So when Jesus says, "Would you like to be made whole?" the only thing in this man's mind is the old way to be made whole, which is to get into the water. And he's like, "I've tried that, man. I've tried that. It doesn't work for me. In fact, every time I try it, someone else elbows me out of the way, and I can't get into the water." So we might see that and go, "Well, man, what you should do is just elbow harder next time," right? That's what we would tell. That's our human nature. Well, if you want to be healed the next time, anticipate it, do better, work harder, get smarter, all those kind of things. And he would be missing the point, because the Savior of the world is standing in front of him. He doesn't need to get in the water anymore because God is standing in front of him. But he doesn't see it. He doesn't understand it. Why? Deep down in the depths of his being, he doesn't understand who Jesus is. And as a result, healing is in front of him, and it is elusive because his understanding of who Jesus is broken. And I'm here to tell you today, right in this moment, that Jesus wants to bring healing into your life. He is standing before you today. He wants to do something in your life and in your heart from the inside out. And you don't have to keep going at it the same way that you've always been going at it and failing. Instead, I want to give you another option today. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. We just sang this song, Waymaker. "Even when I can't feel him, he's working. You never stop working." Yeah. And then we sing that part. "That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who." Oh, why are we saying that? Who is he? Who do you think that he is? That is who you are. Jesus the Christ. That is who you are. That's such a powerful part of that song, because it's a declaration of you understanding who Jesus is. And sometimes I want to speak, this message obviously is for people that are brand new, that don't know Jesus at all. Today's a day of salvation for you. You're going to come to know Jesus as your Savior, and you're going to be healed and whole today. I'm believing that. Amen. But I'm also speaking to people that have been around for a long time. I'm speaking to me. I've told people recently, they've come to me, they've got an advanced copy of the book, and they've read it, and they said, "This book is amazing. It's so, I wish I'd had this a long time ago." I told a lady the other day, I said, "I believe it. I wrote a book about it, and I'm still having to work through it myself." Because we can get off center. We can so easily get off the mark of who Jesus is. So I want to just break it down so simple. And over the coming weeks, I want to paint the picture even better of the levels of this. The book goes into the levels of the iceberg and how we have different parts of us that are below the surface. And we're going to get into some of that in the following weeks. But today I just want to say this, that myself, as the pastor of this church and the guy that wrote the book, this is what I have to do on a regular basis and a daily basis, is have a confession of my faith, where I say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today, and there's absolutely no way that I can come to you today in my own name. The name of Robin is not good enough. It's not smart enough. It doesn't have enough resources. There's no way that I could come into your presence in any other way than in the name of Jesus. Because it's in the name of Jesus that I have an audience with God. It's in Jesus' name that I am acceptable to God. And here's why. Because humans were connected to God in the Garden of Eden, and everything was beautiful and awesome. But we screwed it up. We rebelled and we sinned, and that's all the darkness and ugliness that we see on here. But God loved us so much, he didn't want to leave us separate from him, so he sends Jesus Christ in the flesh as one of us. Jesus is born into the world, and he lives this perfect life, this amazingly sinless life. He does amazing things. He does miracles. He teaches well. He prophesies. He fulfills prophecy. It's this amazing life that Jesus lives. And then when he's 33 years old, he willingly takes on the sins of the world. And he says, I have a deal for you. And he's speaking to everybody in here today, watching online in the building. He has a deal for you. This is what Jesus says in his final hours before he is taken to his death. He says, if you will trust in me, if you will call on my name. In fact, it says this throughout the Gospels. It says in Acts 1 that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, anyone who calls on Jesus' name will be saved. How does that work? Well, this is the deal he offers us. This is the new covenant he offers us. If you will give me your life, if you will surrender your life and say, I'm yours, I give you my sin. He says, if you'll give me your sin, your mistakes, your good stuff, if you'll give me everything, I'll trade you what I deserve, and I'll take on what you deserve. That's why Jesus went to the cross, because that's what we deserve. We've sinned, we've messed up, we've made mistakes, and as a result, we deserve to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. That's why Jesus went to the cross. He suffered that death. And actually, if you've heard this story in detail, you'll know that at one point on the cross, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the ultimate separation from God that Jesus took for you and me. He dies, he's buried in a tomb, and on the third day, Jesus defeats death and the curse of death, and he comes back to life, and he tells his disciples, go throughout the world and tell everybody, make them disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teaching them to obey my ways. That's what I want to offer everybody in here today. If you're separate from God, if you're broken inside, if you're dealing with a past that you don't know how to handle, a mistake that you're walking through, that you're trying to figure out, you'll never figure it out on your own. You'll constantly be struggling until the day comes that you surrender to Jesus and he begins a renewal way down below the surface. And he begins to bring vibrance all the way through. Would you stand to your feet right now? We're going to pray. And in fact, I want to ask if you're online right now, I want to ask that you would stand to your feet and pray with us. I know it's maybe weird in your living room or your kitchen or wherever, but would you bow your heads with me right now and close your eyes? We want to just surrender to God in this moment. We want to give not just our attention and our thoughts to God in this moment, but we want to give our being to Him in this moment. No matter how broken, no matter how confusing, no matter how troubling it may be, we're going to surrender it to God right now. In the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you would like to step into this relationship with God and step into wholeness, you're ready for God to start something on the inside of you, a healing, a wholeness on the inside, way down deep, this is the moment. This is the moment of surrender. You don't have to go through a class to do this or pass a test, or you don't have to do anything, you know, give any money or volunteer or come to the church for a year first. Every single human being within the sound of my voice that's ready to surrender to God, give your heart to God, let's pray right now. And I'm talking to people that have never done this and people that have done this 1,000 times. Let's surrender to Him right now, everybody. If you're ready, let's do it. Just, you can say these words exactly, or you can use your own words, but just say, Lord, I give you myself. I give you my life today. I surrender to you. I want to know more about you. I don't understand it all right now, God. There's many things I don't understand, but Lord, I want to give this a shot. I'm believing in you, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, that you're my Savior. I believe, Jesus, that you've done what needs to be done for me to have eternal life. You've already done it. And so I put my trust and my faith in you, Jesus. I want to walk this out with you, God. I want to walk this out with you, Lord. I give you my life. Please forgive me of my mistakes. Please forgive me of my sin. I need your help with that, God. I lean on you and your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I open myself up to receive your Spirit, your goodness and your kindness, your joy, your wholeness. Lord, I receive your wholeness today. Let it begin in this moment. Let it begin right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.